ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
My job, I was working at an open heart unit, and my pay was awesome. I had a great working relationship with the doctors and surgeons and nurses, and I was able to help establish the open heart unit there. And that, you know, we did over by I don't remember how long it took us, but we did over 500 open heart surgeries from zero to over 500. It was awesome. I loved my job. Crazy. Our home was awesome. The kids were in a great school system. We had great neighbors. You go, man, crazy. Leaving. It was interesting when I came up and looking for a job. There wasn't any. In fact, I even tried at, you know, St. Nicholas Hospital to get a job in the ICU. They basically said, well, you know, we usually hire from within for the ICU. And, you know, and so I sent my resume in. And they called me. I think it was on a Sunday, right? The nurse recruiter calls me on a Sunday. They don't work on Sundays. And they said, we want you. Crazy. It makes no sense. Our house, we put it up for sale, not using a realtor. A neighbor across the street who had an identical house as ours was on the market for over a year, didn't sell. Within a week, our house was sold. Crazy. You know, you look at this, you just go, this is mind-boggling. I don't get it. How does this happen? It was the Lord. And you know what the key was? It was absolute surrender to his will and not mine. Taking those steps of faith was showing that I trusted in what the Lord had promised me. Now, we may not have, you know, these experiences like that. But we all have experiences in our life where it's a walk of faith where we have to trust him. Maybe it's taking a new job or, you know, changing positions here or whatever. I don't know. But it's a step of faith that you know this is what the Lord wants and you do it. And you see how wonderful it is. Our call's difficult. Yeah. Children of Israel, what God told them to do was crazy. It was crazy. And we don't always see the results right away, do we? I mean, wouldn't it be nice that, you know, you have a problem with drinking. Instantaneously, you're delivered. Does that happen? Yes. Does it happen all the time? No. Arthur W. Pink put it like this in regard to absolute surrender. Two things are required of us: adhering strictly to the directions which God has given us, trustfully and hopefully waiting for his blessing upon the same. Patience must have her perfect work. Thus it is was with Israel here. They fainted not because the walls of Jericho fell, not the first or second, nor even the fifth or sixth day, nor did they take matters into their own hands and resort to another method. In other words, don't be discouraged. Don't lose hope. Continue to walk by faith and see the victory that God will give you. You know, faith is important here. It may not be instantaneously. We are, let's face it, we're a generation that wants things instantaneously. I'm really bad here. You can ask my wife. You know, I had surgery on Friday and I'm ready to go. What can I do? How much can I do? When can I start running again? It's crazy. And that's me. I want to keep moving. And sometimes God has to slow you down. And I've been pretty good. Julie's given me B?
C.
C? Oh, God. I got to try harder. Our faith has to be in the Lord and his word. You know, we have this idea that faith is some kind of force today. You know, like in Star Wars, may the force be with you. No, that's not faith. That's a movie. What did the children of Israel do? Did they stare at the walls of Jericho? Walls of Jericho, come down by faith. No, they didn't do that. They walked by obedience to God's word, his promise to them. And guess what? The walls of Jericho did fall down. and they fell down outwardly. You know, when you attack a city, you push walls down and they fall back. The walls of Jericho came outward because God knocked them down. Let me say this, and I realize some people may be offended by this, but that's okay because it is what it is. There's no power in faith. Faith can't do anything. Faith is a pathway to God. We put so much on faith instead of on God. And I realize that's shocking, but turn over to Mark for a second. Mark chapter 11. And in Mark 11, we're going to pick up in verse 20, where we're told this. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Peter and the boys are focusing on a fig tree. And what does Jesus do? He gets their attention back on God. Why? To trust in him. This is not name it, claim it, blab it, grab it theology. Some even go to the extreme to tell us that Jesus wants us to have faith in our faith. What does that mean? That makes no sense, to have faith in faith. There's a lot of people that have faith in their faith, but that's empty. What does Jesus say here in verse 22 of Mark 11 to have faith in? God. You see how simple? I mean, it's not complicated. I think we know this up here, but we listen to what others say, and they get us confused. Have faith in God. Trust in him. And it's not get whatever you want. That's not at all what Jesus is saying. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, John put it like this. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. You see, asking in his according to his will. And isn't that what we pray for? I don't know everything. And if I ask for something that's going to hurt me, I don't want it. Lord, I want what you want for my life. I think of King Hezekiah. Remember, was Isaiah the prophet came up to him and said, you know, Hezekiah, get your house in order. You're going to die. And, you know, this godly king in the southern kingdom of Judah, and he was a godly king. I don't want to die. No, no, no. God said, all right, well, I'll give you 15 more years. The perfect will of God for Hezekiah, it's time to go home. But God allowed 15 more years in his life. Do you know what happened in those 15 years? There was a son born to Hezekiah by the name of Manasseh, who was the worst king in the southern kingdom of Judah. In fact, when God says, I'm bringing judgment upon the southern kingdom of Judah, it's because of the sins of Manasseh. Would it have been better for Hezekiah to go home? Yeah. So we always pray for God's will. I think that's important. Have faith in God and his word, and then just walk accordingly. Absolute surrender to him. You think, well, what if you don't want to surrender to God's will? What if you don't want to surrender to his control? What if you refuse to bow his will in your life for, you know, your marriage, your morals, your attitudes, your tongue, or whatever? You're not going to win. It's going to be bad. The very points on which you refuse to surrender will become your enemies that will rule your own life. And that's important for us to understand. Before I was saved, man, in the car, I've told you, anger was an issue for me. Someone cut me off, someone going really slow, someone just on my road. Just what are you laughing at? It's my road, isn't it? No? Oh, darn. And I would get mad. I'd get angry. And some, you know, sometimes I'd ride right on their bumper. I mean, you could ask my wife. Man, she would be terrified in the car. She would hide and try to get, you know, as low as she can because she was terrified. And, you know, I think the Lord brought me to the other extreme now. I don't care. Yeah, my wife's very excited, but I don't care. They cut me off. Well, maybe they didn't see me. That anger issue in that situation is gone. Does that mean every anger issue in my life is gone? I wish. God's still working. But think about it. If you don't surrender, anger can control you. That's the problem here. And it doesn't matter. It could be your tongue. It could be your morals, marriage life, whatever. Don't let those things rule your life. Let the Lord. For us, it's a hard road because we think we know what's best. We think we know better than the Lord, and we never do. When I was early 20s, I was offered a supervisor position in the ICU and all these other units, critical care units, and I didn't really want it. I really didn't. I liked being working in the ICU. I didn't want to, you know, walk around a lot. But the Lord wanted me to take it. And my wife did too. And what she told me was, just pray about it, Joe. See what the Lord's going to do. What a mistake. The next day, I can't tell you how many people came up to me. My boss in the ICU, you should apply for the nursing supervisor position. One of the nursing supervisors, you should apply for the nursing position. I'm like, are you kidding me? But I knew what the Lord wanted. I was fighting it. And he clearly showed me. And I took it. And he used it mightily in my life. But that's what I mean. Sometimes it's crazy what God has us do. Because I was not qualified to be a nursing supervisor. I was so young. And I didn't even have a bachelor's degree. And the minimum for a nursing supervisor at that time was you had to have a bachelor's degree. I only had an associate's degree in nursing. And they gave me the job. I even told them. I said, well, you know, I don't have a bachelor's degree. Well, that's okay, Joe. We want you in there. Really? Are you sure? Trying to convince them not to hire me as the supervisor. It didn't work. And it's interesting how God does that. It's crazy sometimes what he wants us to do. And we kind of scratch our head and go, are you sure, Lord? And God is sure, are we? And if we're not, then you pray. And you seek his direction, you seek his will, and he'll guide you. You know, we think about the will of God, don't we? You know, people always, what's the will of God for my life? And to me, it's kind of a funny question. And I guess I should take it more seriously, but it's funny when people ask that because the Bible tells us. We don't have to guess. The Bible tells us what his will is for our life. We just don't like it. And turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll show you what I mean. We're going to pick up in verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Because again, we want to know God's will. And I'll give you a couple instances here. There's more. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 3, Paul said this, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all, such as we have also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has given us his Holy Spirit." Isn't that really simple? I mean, God is not, I mean, he is very complicated, but when he's speaking to us, man, he's pretty simple. What's his will for our lives? Our sanctification, to be set apart from the world. What does the church want to do today? We want to be more like the world. Because how are we going to draw people in? Here's the one thing that I've noticed. We're trying to draw people in. Did the Holy Spirit die? Is he sick? Did something happen to the Holy Spirit? Because I thought it's the Holy Spirit that does that. And I guarantee you, if you start compromising what you believe to draw people in, you will keep compromising because you got to keep them here. And you will keep having to add all kinds of things that are not of God to keep people in the church. Do you realize they actually, in some churches, they have a bar where they serve beer? Hey, let's go to church. Man, have a brewski. What? If that's the reason you're coming to church, something's wrong. You come for our Folgers coffee. I know you do. All right, maybe not. But here, specifically, this is dealing with sexual immorality, controlling those passions. God is really clear what he desires of us. Will we obey? Will we have victory over these issues? Because I guarantee you, the devil is tempting us all the time. I don't care if you watch the best TV programs in the world. Look at the commercials. They're tempting you. I don't know if it was a Hardee's commercial, whatever, a few years back, about their hamburgers. And they had two women that had practically no clothes on eating hamburgers, and they were trying to sell the hamburgers. Are you kidding? They're selling sex. They know who's going to be watching those commercials. Be careful. You want the victory, obey what God has said. Now another one, and again it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this time, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Wow. In everything give thanks. Not for everything, okay? But in everything, because God is working. That's the thing, you know, think about it. Your marriage has fallen apart, you lost your job, your child is sick. Kids are out of control. How can I give thanks for that? Not for that, but in that, what is God doing? There is a difference. I can't be excited that my child is sick or my wife is sick. How can I be excited? Oh, praise God, she's got an incurable disease. What? No, and God doesn't want us to act like that. But what is God going to show us through that time? Because what happens many times, a loved one is sick or something changes in your situation, and God starts showing you what's in you. And he starts using you to even a greater degree within that family situation. God's totally in control. 2 Peter 2, verses 13 through 17. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Wow, this is a hard one. The will of God is to respect those that are in government. Wow. Yeah. I've just dealt with this with my brothers on Facebook because, you know, they were really slamming President Trump. And I said, look, you know, I don't agree with everything he does, but he is the president. And when Obama was in, there's a lot of things I disagreed with him about. But he was the president of the United States, and I respected the position that he had. Why? It's the will of God. I don't agree with everything these guys do. I mean, there's a lot I don't agree with. But I will respect the office and pray for the person. Because if they're not saved, isn't that what they need? I mean, we tend to get all fired up and angry and just smote them, God. I'm glad someone didn't say that about me. I'm glad they prayed for me. I'm glad my wife didn't get fed up with me. She was saved long before I was. But she prayed for me. And here I am today by the grace of God. Pray for these leaders. You think, well, they can't get saved. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Never forget that. I'm sure if you were going around, well, I know for a fact, Paul the Apostle, even after he got saved, they still wondered, is he really saved? You know this guy, Lord? He's the one who persecutes Christians. Maybe he's just faking it. Honor those in those positions. Obedience to God's will. I guess the idea is dying to self, guys. And that's a hard one today because, you know, in our society, in our culture, self is a big thing. You know, it's all about me. What about me? What am I getting out of this? And I think, you know, many times that's why people get frustrated and they just drop out. It's, my needs are not being met. This wasn't happening. That wasn't. You know what? It's not about you. It's about the Lord and the lost and what we come to do as we gather here together to worship the Lord, to praise him and to hear from him. We're preparing to go to battle out there. That's what it's about. And the fellowship is we encourage each other in the work or correct each other when someone starts going astray. We help each other out. We get excited when things are going well. We mourn with you when things are going bad. We're the body of Christ. But you have to die to self. It's not my will, it's your will, Lord. And again, it's a hard one today because our society has put such an emphasis on ourselves. You can't help others until you help yourself. And I don't think that's true. Because you know what? I will never be at that point where I feel satisfied with the things that I need done in my life. It will take a lifetime for me to complete that. But if I go and help others, my needs are met. It's kind of weird. But my needs, if I go and help people, my needs are met by God. And it's far better because that's lasting. But you got to die to self. A very hard thing for us to do. Let me just quickly, and then I'll close, share this story with you to show you of a man who is willing to surrender his life totally to the Lord, no matter the cost. And again, this is a hard one today. But what a witness, what an encouragement. In the 1924 Paris Olympics, a 22-year-old Scottish athlete made headlines when he determined to say no to self and yes to God. Eric Liddell made a decision that would have been unthinkable for most, to drop out of his best event, the 100-yard dash, because the qualifying heats were being held on a Sunday. Wow. Think about that. Training your life for an event. Qualifying heats on a Sunday. I can't do it. His competitors were participating in the heats, and Lytle was preaching a sermon at a nearby church. Wow. He ran the race. Or subsequently, Lytle entered himself in the 400-yard dash, a race for which he didn't train for. And 400 is a lot farther than 100. A lot different training. And he ran the race, finishing 5 yards ahead of his nearest competitor and setting a new world record. Wow. However, we're told the Olympic gold medal earned under such extraordinary circumstances was far from Eric Lytle's greatest accomplishment. His obedience to God in Paris was just one of a lifelong series of surrenders that earned Eric the applause of heaven. After his Olympic triumph, he returned to China, where he had been raised to serve as a missionary. In 1943, he was interred in a Japanese concentration camp in China, where he continued to serve God and joyfully ministered to his fellow prisoners. Reminds you a lot of Paul, huh? The apostle. While still in the camp, Lytle suffered a brain tumor that ravaged his body and left him partially paralyzed. On February 21st, 1945, Eric lay on a hospital bed, struggling to breathe and moving in and out of consciousness. Finally, he went into a convulsion. The nurse who had been by his side took him into her arms as he managed to breathe his final words. "Annie," he said, his voice barely audible, "it's complete surrender." And he slipped into a coma. And then into eternity, he was before his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one he labored for so faithfully. How did he do it? He told Annie, it's complete surrender. That's what it is. He lived what he said he believed. As we look at these essentials for victory, obedience to God's word, that's what it's about. Surrendering to him. Not my will, Lord, but yours. I want the victory. Then listen to me. It's important. But then there are also those things that come into our life that can hinder us, and we'll talk about this next week. Keep yourself from accursed things. Those are the hindrances that will get in your way and block you from the victory that God wants for your life. God warned the children of Israel, keep yourself from these things. And as we get into chapter 7 of Joshua, we see they didn't obey. And they lost the victory against Ai, this little hick town that should have been easy to defeat. These Jerichos we're going to face, guys, each and every day. It's how we face them. That's really the key. Are we going to be obedient to God and his word? Are we going to be faithful? Even if it seems crazy, to be obedient to him. Obey God's word and walk by faith. Let's pray. Lord, again, we just thank you for your word this morning. And it's a tough one, Lord. because there are situations we face that we think we know better, and we don't. You have what's best for our life, and we need to be obedient to you. We need to follow you each and every day. Complete surrender, dying to self and willing to serve you all the days of our life. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your patience with us, that you continually mold and shape our lives and help us to grow in our walk with you, to take those steps of faith and see the victories we can have in you, Lord. Thank you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.